Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here today and to talk about this very important topic and the role of satellites in emergency response. And this is a topic that we individually as companies and together in the Satellite Industry Association have been working on for a while. I'm going to jump into this. I know our time is short. I'm going to talk primarily today about communications, but in emergency response, it's usually a holistic satellite industry response. It's not just, how do I go backwards? Does anybody know how we go back? Left click, previous, sorry. Yeah, it's usually a holistic response. We have elements not only of communications, but we have broadcasts, and of course, the geospatial industries, both in remote sensing and in navigation, play a critical role. I'm with Intelsat. We're one of the oldest satellite companies, if not the oldest, with over 40 years of experience in this industry. We have a fleet, a global fleet of some 27, 28 satellites. The reason I mention this is not to brag or to do a commercial, but to say the very simple fact is, in emergency communications, it is always a come-as-you-are party. There is no last-minute launching of a satellite. There is no last-minute creating of teleport facilities. You are pretty much, what happens on the day of the emergency is pretty much what you have. In addition to our satellite infrastructure, we also have what we call our Global Connects, which allows a seamless integration of our bandwidth, our teleports, and our terrestrial infrastructure for our customers who need this. I'm going to go fairly quickly through these slides. I understand they'll be on the web so that you can look at them in your leisure. But time is relatively short today. This is a picture, of course, I don't know if you can see it. This is the classic photo of post-Katrina New Orleans and the levee break. And I think this is a photograph which is emblematic of where we stand on this whole issue of emergency communications. We have a situation where the failure of the dike, which was a known and anticipated consequence of a large hurricane. We had technologies that were available to us that we could have deployed in advance of the hurricane, but we chose for rational reasons at the time not to do it because of the cost, because of the complexity. And yet, after the fact, there was an awful lot of soul searching. This is the situation we're in with respect to satellite communications also. We have a tremendous array of capabilities that we could bring to bear in the emergency communications area. A lot of those haven't been employed yet or have been employed only partially. Why? The answer is usually, well, because we don't think we can afford it. So certainly there was a lot of focus on satellites post-Katrina. The FCC chairman, Kevin Martin, noted in congressional testimony that satellites were essential in the future. And I think the question is, you know, after 9/11, we also heard about the important role of satellites. It was only really 9 months prior to Katrina when we saw what the tsunami did in Indonesia, the devastating effect of that, and the wiping clean of all terrestrial infrastructure, such that we were in another situation where satellite was absolutely essential. I think that I'd like to slow down here for a second and talk a little bit about this chart, because I think this shows another important fact. In addition to come as you are when an emergency happens, anymore, it's not really about raw bandwidth. It's not really about providing just connectivity to a spot. What people want are to be able to use the tools that they're comfortable using. This was an Intelsat-led program in cooperation with IBM. We provided the satellite communications, the teleport services, the hub services, and overall project management. And we had a lot of other partners, and I'll show you the list in a second. This chart shows that we were providing basic connectivity through 2.4-meter C-band antennas. We were connecting with an Intelsat satellite up out of Indonesia and then down to our teleport in Fuchstedt, Germany. Traffic was then terrestrially routed through our Global Connects network through software-secure virtual virtual private network and provided connectivity to the United Nations in Geneva. In terms of applications on the ground, we had voice over IP, internet access, intranet access, file transfer, and video. In addition to that, we also had voice over IP phones, which were distributed, as well as laptops. The satellite, the VSAT, was connected terrestrially with both Wi-Fi and WiMAX, and we were able to provide internet connectivity through the Wi-Fi, and the WiMAX actually reached out to a locally run hospital, and we were doing some telemedicine applications through that. So again, it's not just the bandwidth, it's not just having a satellite in place, it's the ability to produce the kinds of tools that people need in an emergency. And here was the team, and again, you can look at that at your leisure, but that was the team that worked together on the tsunami mobile relief effort. We were also very busy, as were our other fixed satellite colleagues in the industry. We were very busy post-Katrina doing a range of activities. Some of them are listed here. But more importantly, and I'd like to again slow down on this slide, the satellite response is varied, and it occurs in kind of a wave. The first thing that happens after a disaster is that you need to do some kind of assessment. That assessment will be both feet on the ground, individuals at the site of the disaster, probably with satellite phones, Iridiums or Global Stars or Inmarsat terminals, something that's light and mobile and that's useful in making a first assessment. At the same time, and although I'm not part of that industry, the geospatial information industry is in high gear with either reconnaissance photos or some kind of photos. I think in the future you'll see more use of UAVs, either flown with line of sight radio or via satellite. But there has to be, the first phase has to be the assessment at the micro level with individuals walking around and figuring out what's broken and what still works, and at the macro assessment to figure out the scope and the extent of the damage, and also to make assessments about how you move logistics and supplies in and around. The next wave is usually mobile fixed satellite services, mounted on vans, which provide bigger pipes. And then you can start adding on, layering on the networking capabilities that I showed you in the last photo in our tsunami work. You can start tying in with your voice over IP and your internet connectivity, and then you can bring in your bigger and fixed equipment to start reestablishing networks in general. In one of the earlier sessions, there was some question about how do you inform the public about what's going on. There were some very creative things going on post-Katrina, both DirecTV, which of course is a satellite television company, and XM Radio, which is one of the satellite radio companies, worked with the government to provide dedicated channels. So although it was one way and although it was broadcast only, it was a very useful tool for those people who were information starved to be able to have a dedicated channel talking to them about what was going on. Was the ice coming or wasn't it? Is there water or not? When can we expect officials in your area? All that kind of information could be pushed out on a regular basis. So it is a big effort. And for the most part, it has been an effort where the industry has been creative. It has been an industry push. It has not really been a government pull. The satellites that I showed that are in the sky in our network and my colleagues are similarly situated, we put those satellites in the sky for business reasons. We didn't put them there in cooperation with the government in anticipation of emergency. It is serendipitous for the government that we are there and are capable and that we do have capacity. Whether we're talking Katrina or in Indonesia or in Iraq or Afghanistan, those are assets that are motivated by commercial considerations and not about meeting the government's needs. And that has implications that we need to talk about, and we will in a minute. There have been lots of lessons learned post-Katrina, but here's some very simple ones. What worked and what didn't? Things that could be blown over or flooded were, and they didn't work. Radios of police and fire of different jurisdictions, which are not compatible, did not talk to each other. And so those things, I think, have received a lot of coverage in the press. But there were a lot of things that worked. Mobile satellite phones definitely worked. There were a high rate of report of, I know some of the initial reports coming back said, oh, my satellite phone didn't work. You know, we've seen this before in other areas. The DoD, when they first pushed out the first set of Iridium handsets and other handsets, had a high incidence of reporting coming back saying that the phones weren't working. And what they found, as soon as they trained the people, that miraculously the satellite network got better. People try to make phone calls under tin roofs in buildings. I mean, if you don't have a basic understanding of how the technology works, you're probably not going to know how to use it. One of the big success stories was the reestablishment of networks using, again, the satellite VSAT hooked up to either Wi-Fi or WiMAX and other areas. So those are good success stories. And not, again, it's not all satellite, of course. There was some amazing stuff done in new technologies for interconnecting terrestrial radios. Some of the companies like Raytheon and I think Aegis and some of the other companies are producing devices that basically can listen in different frequencies at the same time and do an immediate translation. So people with disparate phones, terrestrial phones, can talk to each other. There are a lot of fascinating tools out there. SIA, Satellite and Industry Association, did some assessments. I think Leslie's going to talk a little bit about this in her talk, so I'm not going to dwell here. But I just would refer you to the Satellite Industry Association website, where they've got a fair number of materials on this. I'd like to end with challenges. There is a lot of money being spent. The IWIN program, which is a DHS justice program, is something on the order of $20 billion that's going to be spent on communications. To the best of my knowledge, there has been very, very little focus at DHS or elsewhere on the issue of satellite communications. The primary focus that I've heard of and seen is on wireless interoperability, which is certainly an important issue, and on finding additional spectrum for first responders, which is also certainly an important issue. However, there has been precious little money or attention paid to the role that satellites can play in meeting the challenges of first response. And I think if there's an area that desperately calls out for more attention, it is satellite. Satellites, it saddens me to say, but we have to admit that satellites are generally not cost competitive with terrestrial alternatives in non-emergency applications. So if you need to connect point A to point B, you're probably going to string a cable. And that's probably going to be cheaper than putting in satellite infrastructure. This raises a question, if I can skip to my last bullet. This raises an important question, which is how do you build a sustainable business case for disaster communications? Again, going back to my earlier point, we don't put these satellites in the sky to be there when bad things happen. We're very, very glad that we can be. We're very, very glad that we have the capacity, the capability, the talent, the people, and the relationships to come in and help when bad things happen. But our satellites and our shareholders require that our investments make sense on a commercial basis. The government has not planned for, nor has it paid for, any of the commercial satellites that are in the sky. Let me repeat that. The government didn't plan for, nor did it pay for, any of the commercial communication satellites that are in the sky. So I think that we are looking for a dialogue on these issues, and we're not looking for a handout. We're looking for a dialogue about how to make sure that what we can do is available when the government needs it. And finally, to my third bullet, which I'll end on, is, as I said in the mobile satellite example, satellite hardware isn't intuitive. I mean, some of it's complicated. Setting up a VSAT is not something you can do if you've never done one before. Even using a handheld, even a simple Inmarsat or Iridium handset can be complicated. You've got, as the military knows, you've got to train as you fight. And what we need is a focused effort which gets these technologies into the hand of the first responders and makes sure, A, that they're available, and B, that these people have an opportunity to work with this stuff, to plan. The first time you try to use a satellite phone, you shouldn't be in, you know, 50 knot winds in a gale somewhere with the roof flying off your house. You should have some experience in advance. So anyway, that's my quick romp through the woods there, and I hope it was informative, and I'd be happy to answer questions later. Thank you very much.